Today's program was brought to you by Blueprint, the original juice cleanse program to offer different levels of intensity depending on your needs and current diet. For more information, visit blueprint.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hey, Mazel Tov, shout out, Jess and Jesse, our cousin, and I guess he's our new cousin as well?
I think that's how it works.
Cousin-in-law? How does that work? When your cousin gets married, second cousin?
No. Second cousins are the cousins of the kids of your cousins.
Anyway, shout out, beautiful Jersey wedding at the Chateau in Millburn. Legitimate, 3 carving stations, 12 pass hors d'oeuvres, unreal. A lot of fun. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz.
The other half, Greg Bresnitz. Big show today.
Big show.
It's August.
I can't believe it's August.
I always hate people that do that, but I actually can't fucking believe that it's August. Jamie, yeah, get in here. We're just staring at you. This is like, how we open it up, we like make it real softball, and that's where you jump. You're like, August.
Should
have been May.
Welcome to the show, Boston legend, Jamie Bissonette. Welcome. Been a long time in the making of having you on here. I think I tracked you down years ago when we were doing these barbecue blowouts, and I called you in Boston, like I cold called you. I was like, hey, do you want to come down to Boston? And it just didn't work out. And then I stalked you at the James Beard Award.
Yeah.
And then we did that thing where then we like saw each other at every food event ever of all time.
Yeah, I think either I stalked you or you stalked me for about 6 weeks.
I mean, if it's mutual stalking, is that... like relationship? Courting?
No,
it's courting is better,
it's
right?
We didn't have sex, so I guess we were married.
No, it's that hey, weird dudes getting to know each other, become friends type of thing that girls don't really understand, where it's like, hey, like, we're dudes and we're trying to, like, become friends. Like, I don't know. It's weird. But anyway.
Oh, by the way, welcome to our new show, Men Talk, with Jamie Bissonette.
So what's it like when you make a new friend?
A new male friend?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always different.
It's always different. Well, you just moved to New York, so you're probably going to make some new male friends.
I'd like to make new every kind of friend.
Yeah. So, Jamie, let's go back to the beginning.
All right.
Even though now you're known as a snout to tail, meet, chef, who likes to imbibe and hang out. You were a straight-edge hardcore kid back in the day.
Yeah, it's totally weird, right?
Well,
not really, because we grew up with a lot of straight-edge hardcore kids in high school.
And, yeah, in Philly.
In Philly, and they were like the big X's.
And Boston, too.
And Boston, too. And
yeah.
We, yeah.
Oh, look at that X.
X is on my hands.
Excellent. And then we
That's
met them.
That's the real deal.
And then, but then, like, they broke edge and then went so fucking far on the other side of the spectrum where it was like heroin and like alcoholism and, you know,
I thought you were going to go with, we knew a lot of straight edge kids growing up who now work in food. But yeah, if you want to go the heroin route.
I'm just saying, like, the kids, so what I'm saying is you're not special.
I don't think I'm special.
So, talk to us about being like a young, hardcore, vegan, straight edge kid.
Oh, vegan was just because I wanted to sleep with the vegan hardcore girls from Meriden.
Didn't we all?
Yeah, they were hot. And Kate from 108, that Krishna band, she was so freaking cute.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I had no chance. I was a geek. I was a dork. I was like one of those kids. I was a hardcore kid. I was a punk rock kid. I don't know. Weird.
What were you eating?
My parents couldn't cook for anything, and a lot of us were vegetarian. So we ate a lot of Twizzlers and Cheetos, things like that.
Oh, it was like that route. The like junk food. The junk food. It's not that you eat meat.
Broke right. Vegan right. Diet.
So my mom stopped cooking, and she said, "You know, you've got to cook for yourself." So I started cooking for myself. And
because you went vegan, or just stopped?
Because I shaved my head and had tattoos by the time I was 15. And
what was your first tat?
Logo to the band Judge.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is hardcore.
Yeah.
In all meanings of
that. Yeah, wicked.
Very wicked.
Yeah, I mean, there's a trend with hardcore kids. Like, you'd go to a show, and either before the show, you'd meet somewhere for something to eat.
Yeah.
And anywhere there was a club, if I said, you know, hey, we're going to the Tune-In in New Haven, somebody would say, oh, we've got to go to Mamoon's and get falafel or something. If we're going to Boston, we've got to go to the Deli House or Little Steve's.
Grasshopper?
A lot of the vegan kids went to Grasshopper, but by the time we started going to Grasshopper, I was misfortunate enough to have fallen in love with cooking.
Oh, okay.
So we, like, you know, bands would tour, they'd come stay at my house, and right. I would cook. Or before shows, I'd be like, I don't want to go to a shitty diner. I don't want to eat at Denny's. I don't, you know, there's other things we could do, and it's too expensive.
Deli House wasn't shitty.
Deli House was awesomely shitty.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to cook vegan food first, or, mm-hmm. okay.
I would get home from school. I was on a work release program, so I could get out early and go to work. I worked at a grocery store in the deli area and as a teller. And I would get home and watch, like, Jack Papin and Julia Child and mm-hmm. watch what they would do. And I would just swap mushrooms for meat or things like that. There was, you know, there was the early 90s. There were hardly any health food stores. And just outside of Hartford, Connecticut, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on.
No. I mean, yeah, back then, even then, in the late 90s or 2000s, even the idea of, like, casual, healthy food, non-vegan, was still, like, you know, they had, like, the salad works or things like that. Like, really, not too much. Not like it is today.
No. Yeah, then healthy food was some vinaigrette that was made with so much corn syrup and,
yeah.
like, powdered buttermilk and, like, desiccated lecithin and things that you see on the back of a Doritos label that you don't necessarily equate with healthy.
So you're cooking for yourself, and when did it click that you felt, oh, I'm not just making a meal that's like vegan sustenance?
When I was in a band, and we would have practices, and we would break up our practice, we would cook, and I would make something to eat. And I would be thinking about what we were going to eat and cook before I would think about what we were playing, and I would miss practice, and I'd be in the kitchen upstairs instead of being in the basement, or we'd go to a show, and the guys in the band would be like, dude, you really just want to go cook, and I dropped out of high school, kicked out of high school. Fine line.
Little A, little B.
Yeah. The further from it gets, you dropped out.
Yeah, exactly. The more my career goes
along. My choice.
I decided I didn't want to go back after they told me I couldn't come back. I went to culinary school when I was 17.
Oh, wow. So, which one?
Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale.
Shout out. So you're from Florida?
No. I was as far away from Hartford, Connecticut as I could get in a school that would accept me with no high school education.
Okay.
And that would give me a loan. A
personal loan.
Personal loan.
So you're down in Florida. You're cooking. And when did you break that vegan edge?
Oh, not for a while. I went through culinary school, vegetarian, vegan personal life, but eating butter and stuff because I went to a culinary school to learn classic French technique.
Were you tasting any meat at all?
I would taste and spit.
Okay.
And then...
And they were cool with that?
No. My culinary school hated me until probably about a year ago, and.
They're like chef.
Now they're like, hey, will you do this commercial for us? Yeah. Will you? I'm like, oh yeah, great, thanks, whatever.
So you're in Florida, and then you graduated, and then
I was living in Florida, living with a bunch of hardcore kids. You know,
you still going to shows?
Oh yeah, I was like, every time a band came through, they stayed with my roommate Damien was in all the big hardcore bands at the time in like the late '90s, mid '90s in South Florida.
Shout him out,
Damien Moyel. Yeah, he was in Culture, As Friends Rust, Morning Again, Shy Elude, and a bunch of other really
Shy Elude. Okay.
Yeah, he was the original singer.
Huh. Yeah.
Before Little Chad, who then was Little Chad. We played street hockey with him. He was like 5'5" and skinny, and then like went away for a month, came back, and the dude's like 6 foot tall.
That happens when they're all teenagers.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did you get known as, in the same way those restaurants were getting known about venues, like, oh, if you go to Florida, you got to stay with Jamie, he's going to cook you a bomb meal?
I doubt it. I know, like, Earth Crisis stayed with us a bunch because I would always make this bomb lentil dish.
Okay.
That Carl and those guys liked.
Did you have any funny, like, hardcore reference names for your dishes?
Nah. We weren't that clever. It was more like, hey, let's go to the Publix or Piggly Wiggly with, like, $6. I remember my friend Edwin, who's a tattooer now. He was in a bunch of hardcore bands, Hylia Kid. We would go with money we would scrape from the back of his car, like change, and we would go buy $4 or $5 worth of dried legumes and spices and try to mimic like the Krishna, because we would go to the Hare Krishna temple on Wednesdays and pray and then eat the free food and hang out and
all the old tricks.
All the old, yeah.
So what got you out of Florida?
Being there got me out of Florida. Huh. It's a shithole.
That's the board, number one answer. Number one answer on the board. Just being in Florida.
Yeah. As soon as I graduated, I stayed for another 4 or 5 months, and I was barely 19, and I'd been coming to Boston for forever for shows and had lots of friends up there. I had a free place to stay, packed my car, and drove straight up 24 hours in a row by myself. Got to Boston, started working there, fell in love with a girl at 19. Who falls in love?
19-year-old, yeah. Who moved to Boston.
And then 6 months later, when that wasn't happening anymore, I was like, fuck this place. I went back to Hartford for a while. And that's where I started, like, really paying attention to cooking and, like, working in decent restaurants and honing my craft and realizing that I needed to eat more food. I worked in Paris for a bit, and my chef there told me if I wanted to be any better that I needed to start eating meat. I did, and...
What'd you have? What was the first thing?
One of the first things was steak tartare. Wow. Mussels. We were at a brasserie, and everybody was eating, so I had mussels and then steak tartare.
Yeah, but
by the end of the week, I was, like, chowing foie gras.
But I feel like steak tartare is as pure meat as you can really get. Like, you know it's high quality. Well, you hope it's high quality. But it's high quality. It's a very straightforward preparation. It's not all this, like, what's going into it. It's very much just, this is the animal in one of its purest forms.
Yeah, but your body's like, wow, you're going to go from not eating animal protein to raw egg yolk and raw meat overnight? Yeah.
That's pretty brutal. And who was the chef that kind of gave the...
Some guy.
Why don't we play a song?
Okay, we'll play a song.
We'll talk about current state of things and then tomorrow's barbecue.
much to be. You always mean so much to me. Will always be 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 so much to me.
I forgot to mention we have Mount Moon live today later in the studio. That's who opened up the show. He's just in here grinning.
Hello.
Yeah, there it is. So you got back, you got serious, you started eating raw eggs, raw beef. That's just a steady diet. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a pretty healthy diet.
Yeah, right. Hardcore and all the way in the other direction. Now it's like, fuck veggies.
That's
fuck lentils.
Thing, like what you said earlier, like hardcore kids are so extreme. You know, I feel like everything is so one way. If you're straight edge, you're militant straight edge. If you're into hardcore, you're like totally into hardcore. That's what you do. And if you're gonna eat meat, you're gonna preach about it.
Some would say that you went whole hog on the meat eating.
Eventually, yeah. I mean, as I started being as a young cook, I started like looking at what was going on, and you know, I graduated culinary school in 1996. And I was working in restaurants, and every restaurant served the same shit. It was pork tenderloin and chicken breast or chicken thighs that were already boneless, skinless, and you know, New York strips that came in. I was like, what part of the animal is this from? I saw this in culinary school, and I see it when I travel when I was in France, and I don't see this in the United States as often, and it was just not as commonplace. And I was watching how much things cost and seeing that if I went to the grocery store, a whole chicken was so much less expensive than buying just chicken breast. And,
right. So when did you start – when did things – so you're back in Boston.
I was in Hartford for a while.
So you're in Hartford.
But I was a townie. I was like –
right.
You know.
But then you – so then you move back to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And when did things start? You hook up with Ken?
I was living in Hartford, and I was like, I need to get out of here or I'm going to go to jail or be dead.
Was it the same reason why you had to leave Florida?
Pretty much the exact same reason. There's not a lot to do in Fort Lauderdale, and there's even less to do in Hartford. Hartford doesn't have a beach.
Were you a Whalers fan?
I'm still a Whalers fan.
That's the only correct answer, actually.
Let's go to the board. Number one answer.
Some friends of my uncle growing up, who kind of grew up as my older brother, said, yeah, our friend Ken, he's got a really awesome restaurant up in Boston. And they kept talking about him, and I was going up for my aunt's birthday in Boston. And like, oh, you might meet him. And I'm up, and he wasn't at the party, and somebody was talking about Ken. I'm like, who's, you know, I don't know any restaurant up here by a guy named Ken. I know Kenny Oringer. And they're like, yeah, same guy. And I was like, wow, that guy just won the James Beard Award. His restaurant is like where every chef wants to eat. This was back before the social media, Facebook, all that kind of place stuff.
Right.
And if you wanted to see what was going on in a city, you had to go there. You couldn't look on Instagram or Twitter to find out what somebody was doing in Brooklyn if you lived in San Francisco.
Right, which was
great and bad. And what was great about it forced me to move to go up there. I went up there to work for Ken, worked there for a little bit, couldn't make any money, student loans and whatnot, and left him on pretty good terms, good enough terms that 7 years later I went back with him as his business partner. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you just keep in touch?
I went and worked at some restaurants. Boston's such a tight community, such a small town, especially in the restaurant industry. He would come into where I would work. I opened up this behemoth restaurant called Eastern Standard, which was awesome because it was the old Rat Skeller. Where?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went to the last show ever. Was Gangrene, and then I was the first chef to open it up.
My God. How funny is that? Like the one of those infamous like punk rock dive venues, Behemoth Restaurant.
Behemoth Restaurant now, yeah.
And so you have two restaurants now.
I've got two in Boston, Copa and Toro, and Toro, New York, opens up September 16th.
Talk to us about those two restaurants.
So Toro, small place, neighborhoody place in the South End, really small restaurant, about 60 seats, 20-seat bar. It's like Barcelona-style tapas, fun, high energy, go on a wait, don't take reservations.
Really?
Yeah.
What can one expect to wait on, like a Tuesday night?
Tuesday night, how many people?
Four.
It's hard to predict exactly with the weather and how many other people are coming before you.
Yeah.
Is how we start off every conversation. But that'd probably be if you came in after 6:30, 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
And then Saturday night?
About the same. We go on about the same wait, anywhere from 2.5 to 4 hours sometimes.
What do you tell people who wait that long?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And then Copa, we opened up kind of on the same idea, but we take reservations, and it's a small plate Italian joint. Handmade pastas, all house-made charcuterie, wood-burning pizza oven, and again, higher energy, but even smaller. We seat 27 people.
Really?
That's wicked tiny.
Wicked tiny. So,
wait, how many turns a night?
Well, with the bar, we can do sometimes 150 covers. It's not comfortable.
Wow. So you're sweating.
Well, pizza oven, yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, you're working.
Yeah.
You're working. So beyond that, you've also been... You were on Chopped too, right?
A couple times, yeah.
And you're the big winner, right?
I was a big winner.
You never got chopped.
I got chopped in the second show I went on. I lost in the dessert round.
How intense is that show? And how much do you like cooking in that show where they have all those... Because that's what really... I mean, you know, there are all these conceits now. It's like, hey, you know, we're going to take away all these four or five things that make you comfortable to see if you can still cook.
I didn't actually notice that so much, but it's real. I mean, it was real. You open up the basket, you shut it, and then 30 seconds later, you open it up again. So you have about 30 seconds to formulate a plan. You know, you go to their pantry, and it's like being a musician and somebody says, or a DJ, and somebody says, okay, you can DJ whatever you want. And then you go back in there and you're like, you don't have any hip-hop records that I can use for beats.
Right.
You're like, right, and you only have classical. And then the only other things you have are 78 RPMs. Right. I don't have a record player that plays 78s. So it's just like a lot of make it happen. But it was really fun.
And then you also won a bunch of accolades. You were Best New Chef, Food and Wine. What was that like?
Fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, really overwhelming. You know, you never think that...
Because they play that stuff pretty close to
the vest. How did you get the phone call from Dana?
I didn't. I missed it.
Oh.
Did she leave a
voicemail? What's this 212 number?
I was on a flight, and I landed, and I was just like, wow, yeah, cool.
So she left a message?
Yeah, actually, I saw somebody else had tweeted about it to me.
Oh.
I was like, oh, cool.
Spoiler alert.
There's a lot of good stories about there. People are like picking from me, like, what? Who is this? Like,
yeah,
like going up, like hanging up, being like, or people being
is this
like,
a creditor,
or be like, stop fucking with me. Like, I have, to, and then just being like, calling back. It's like, no, this is Dana.
I mean, that's
I was more like that for the James Beard when I got nominated for that. I was
2 years, right?
2 years in a row, yeah. I was blown away.
I mean, those, you know, for those who don't know, those two types, the Food and Wine Award and James Beard, there are a few higher honors that you can really hope to attain as a chef. From like that isn't something that is like, you know, a celebration of like a 40 or 50 or 60 year career.
Yeah,
like it's really good. I mean, it's life changing. Did you see a difference in recognition and things like that?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. It definitely made people more aware of the restaurants in Boston. It definitely got recognized more by other chefs and people that I had known through the industry for years that we always be friendly with were calling me and congratulating me. Chefs that I had worked for 15, 16 years ago that I didn't even know would remember that I worked for them were remembering me and saying hello. It was really awesome. And, you know, we put a lot of work into this. You sacrifice a lot.
Yeah. And now your culinary school is calling you up to do commercials.
They're actually asking me to go and do a fake Chopped thing for an ad for them.
How do you feel? I mean, you're going to do it? Yeah?
Why not, man?
Yeah.
I learned a lot from them.
Yeah. Yeah, and they gave you a loan, and you didn't have a GED.
No, they didn't give me a loan. A bank did.
Oh, okay. And so now you're coming, you're splitting your time now between here and New York because Toro's opening up here.
Yeah.
A branch. Is it, when you're menu planning for New York versus Boston, is it going to be any different?
I mean, there's things that we can get down here more readily available.
Such as?
Well, cool seafood that, you know, doesn't come from, like New England, we use all New England seafood, and down here there's not as much New England seafood, but there's a lot of cool imported stuff, and, you know. We're still in the development stage for that.
So this fall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just say fall. We'll keep it general. And then you're also in town because you're going to be doing our last barbecue blowout of the season tomorrow.
Word.
Super excited. That's why I started chasing you.
Yeah.
Originally. But now that you're here, what's the menu going to be?
Tomorrow? We're going to do the Toro corn, which is one of our number one selling dishes in Boston. It's pretty fun. It's like a version of a Mexican street corn, even though we're Spanish tapas. It's something that Ken and I love. I'm going to do like a funky macaroni salad with cauliflower kimchi.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to do pig's head and pork belly sloppy joes.
Ooh. I can't wait. When I saw that, I got instantly hungry.
Cool.
And just thought I might just go to bed until Tuesday night. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
No, and where can you get tickets, Darren?
BBQ Blowout August.eventbrite.com. And the Food Republic guys are going to DJ. And Max Sussman, a.k.a. Dr. Sussman, is going to DJ.
And shout out to Brooklyn Brewery.
And
Poach Jobs.
PoachJobs.com.
Yeah.
Heritage will be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. Last one in the summer.
Yeah.
This is when I know that like I really need to cram in the rest of the summer when we get to our August barbecue. And I go, shit. I got like 4 weeks.
You know what? It was my birthday last week.
Happy birthday.
I didn't have a party. I didn't celebrate. So somebody bring me birthday cake.
Can I ask how old you are? Is that too rude?
36.
Oh, man. Baby.
36 years young.
36. Oh, well, we'll definitely do some. Well, now that you are not.
We'll do birthday shots. Like
yeah.
Kamikazes,
what do you drink?
Cosmos.
What do you drink now that you're not a straight edge vegan?
Yes.
No, what do you drink?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. And to the board. And he is 3 for 3.
I drink anything, man. I like it all.
Yeah, do you have a favorite? What was your first drink?
My first drink, I sipped on a glass of wine at a restaurant, but wasn't really into it. Didn't want to get drunk. And then my first drink was in front of a bunch of kids I grew up with, a bunch of hardcore kids who had been drinking. We all were going to this bar to meet girls all the time and shoot pool. And it was awesome because I would do shots of Coca-Cola when they were doing shots of whiskey, and everybody thought I was drunk. And I had so much better game than I started drinking, and it all went downhill. But they walked into my apartment, and I slammed Newcastle and just went, let's go out. And that was it.
Did everyone high five you?
Pardon me?
High five?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Jamie, if you can stick around, we got Mount Moon coming up.
And where can people go for all of your nuts and bolts of, like, info? You're on Instagram and Twitter.
At Jamie Biss, JamieBiss.
Can't believe that wasn't taken.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Oh.
That's pretty, yeah.
But, no, I liked your history over the summer. You were on some great trips.
Love to travel.
Good food photos.
Get it out of my system now.
Yeah, before you
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram so you can tell when I'm drunk.
Yeah. What's a good example of a drunk Instagram?
Well, I've got a friend, Alana, who does our PR for the restaurants, and she's also one of my best friends, and she has access to my passwords. So a lot of times those disappear.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's probably like, for the best.
There was one where somebody was doing the dance from Silence of the Lambs with a cape with the tuckie.
Yeah.
That went away?
I think Instagram took that one down.
Yeah. It's like your own personal reputation.com.
Yeah.
Well, Mount Moon, welcome to the show.
Hello.
You're our third busker that we've had.
Yeah, I saw you had Moon Hooch at one point.
Moon Hooch. And Freelancer Rails before that. Are you friends with the Moon Hooch guys?
No, I just recognize them from Union Square late at night.
Moon Hooch, for those who don't know, it's a drummer and two vintage saxophone players, and they play super awesome house music.
Is it house music? Is
that yeah. you have to listen to it, but they're like electronic artists who are like, let's recreate dance music through like a drum and two saxophones.
Yeah, it's very danceable. I mean, people get really into it.
But I'm not going to lie. Most, like, I have approached a number of, you know, we book, you know, 40 to 50 shows a year. And it's like, you know, after a while, it's like, you know, this will be our fourth. It's our 40th anniversary today for Snacky Tunes. I just realized.
Really?
Yeah, today's our 40th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
We just got out of diapers.
And I've like approached a number of buskers. I was like, well, it's obvious they're here. And lo and behold, buskers are the least responsive people on email I have ever met. Like, I've been like, hey, we have a radio show.
Hey,
you literally
no service in the subway.
You literally can like hop the train on the platform you're playing, just out to Morgan's. We'll feed you. and come play. And they're always like, yes. And then I just get added to, I know they get it because they get added to all their email lists. And then I just hear back from them. So, all right, so welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background, where you are, and actually how you made the decision to start busking?
Well, I mean, I made the decision to start busking when I got fired from my job as a messenger. So I was just broke. And
were you a New York City bike messenger?
I was a foot messenger just for this one company. But yeah, I got fired and I didn't know how to pay my rent. And so I was like, well, I have a guitar. I can go down on the subway. So I did that and it kind of worked the first couple of times. And I was like, shit, this is kind of great. So I kept doing it.
I mean, you don't have to tell us that, but like, what's the average take home for and the amount of work that you put into it?
It depends. It's actually really surprising. Some days you think you're doing really, really well, and you're like, man, I sound great, and then nobody's paying attention, and some days you go out and you think you sound terrible, and you make a lot of money. So, I mean, it can be... I mean, I've made, like, $100 in, like, 2 hours, and then I've also spent 2 hours and made $10.
So I saw you on Saturday, in between that two-hour turnaround of when I was at Bedford, there was some other guy there. When I came back.
Oh, yeah?
So when he showed, did he show up and you're like, he's like, it's time for you to go? Like, how does that work?
I know a lot of the people that busk around on the L line. Mm-hmm. So we know each other. We've done it for a while. So, but there is new people every once in a while and they can be kind of jerky sometimes. But usually everybody who is like friends, like watches out for each other, will switch spots and such.
Any fights?
Any fights? I've gotten really angry one day when I was just having a really bad day and cussed out this guy rather inappropriately, and that was my fault.
Well, like he showed up and you're like, dude, I'm not moving, or like he wouldn't move.
No, he would. He's the kind of guy that would show up and stay at the spot for like 8 hours
right.
at a time, and so it's just like everybody kind of gets pissed off at you because it's like just switch
what's,
off.
What's like the what's the etiquette for like you're like, all right, now I'm like I should be wrapping it up.
I feel like I usually try to play until somebody else comes down and asks me how long I'm going to play, and then that's a good opportunity to make a plan to, like, okay, you take the spot for an hour, and I'll take the spot for an hour, so we can both actually pee and drink water and
right.
such like that.
Right. Oh, little brotherhood there. Yeah. And then cop harassment? I was watching this band Mountain Animation, where they set up on opposite sides of the G train at the Metropolitan stop. And, like, it's – I thought it was amazing, but I ran into a friend. She's like, oh, these fuckers, they do – this is the same shtick. You just, like, never see it. And they were playing it, and they were great. And then I saw the cops come, and it was acoustic, not electric, and they got shut down. But for the life of me, I could not figure it out because I thought that as long as it's not bothering anybody.
It's actually not illegal at all. It's technically illegal to ask for money in
right.
the subway, so that having money isn't there. But if a cop comes, you're just like, oh, that's just a can of money. I don't know where that came from.
And they buy that, obviously.
Yeah, well, no. But all the cops always give you things about saying you have to have a permit or you have to be like licensed, and that's all actually crap. It falls under freedom of speech. You can do whatever you want as long as you're like, so far from the stairs and the money machines and such like that.
You had a money machine right in front of you, right?
Actually, well, then I guess that like the that ticket. Could be tricky because the stairs leading down to the subway on the Metropolitan platform, there's a number of them. So like, I don't know if there's a supposedly the L train, you can just sit there. That would make sense why they're always at the same place because like equidistant from the stairs.
Yeah, yeah. But this just became actually legal sometime in like the late 90s. So a lot of the cops that are older cops actually don't know that it's legal. And they'll go through... They've arrested people that I've known just for doing it. And it's a bunch of crap.
Have you ever been arrested?
I've never been arrested. I've been told to leave before. But actually, I've started to like get to know the cops that are at the stations often that I play at. And they like are always like, yeah, rock out, dude. I've been tipped by a cop before.
Yeah, I think that's what... I think... I mean, New York and Boston as well. Just like, you just got to get to know the cops.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're dicks, and then you get to know them, and you're like, oh, you like the Mets, too.
Yeah. The one cop is really nice. Sometimes he comes down, and he's kindly asked. He's like, I have to sit in this booth for an hour, so can you play the other side of the platform so I don't have to listen to you for the next hour?
Oh.
I'll take that.
Does that hurt more?
It's nicer. I'm playing the same songs, like, over and over.
How many songs do you have in your repertoire in the...
And the repertoire that I currently play, I mean, I've written a lot, but I currently play only like 5 songs over and over again while I'm busking because they're the ones that I like the most, that I want people to hear the most and such like that.
Are you really good at those 5 songs?
I'm pretty good at those 5 songs.
Okay.
Do you want to play one of those songs?
I'm going to play a song that I don't actually play busking because I've been going through a slight transition to more soulful electronic music, I feel, than the angsty folk music that I play in the subway.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good. Sure. Okay. Mount Moon live on Snacky Tunes.
This song is called Stay Real.
Mm-hmm. where I wouldn't leave here if I could. All summer long you've been growing away, please. Ooh, I need your honey running down my legs. I'm a miser of your love, can't take my eyes off. Couldn't pay me enough to walk away.
Well, I mean, that is not the guy that we saw in the...
Yeah, it's a little different.
It's a little different.
It's a little different. So in addition to performing, we also picked up a cartoon, a comic book that...
I actually have one, yeah.
And you make those, right?
I've done 2 issues so far, and I'm working on a 3rd one right now.
So I read the 2nd one and was totally lost. I'm assuming that it's a continuous story. Also, I may have just been lost.
It's actually the first one. It's a continuous story that just starts. The first one is 4 separate stories, like 1-page, 2-page kind of stories. The second one's supposed to be the beginning of the story, but it's quite, psychedelic and strange. So it's a little.
It's psychedelic, and I appreciate that. But it's out there, man.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's nice. You get yourself a little comic book.
Yeah. I've had it. It's in a couple different stores around here, in some libraries in Philly and stuff like that.
Is it in that zine shop on Metropolitan?
Yes. Days?
Okay.
Yes, it is there.
Does anyone ever tip you food? And if so, what do they leave you?
Tip me food. I've been tipped food, beer, magic stones. I've been tipped food.
Stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Magic stones.
You were about to move on from that list. What's a magic stone?
Some like really super kind of hippie guy came down and was like, gave me the stone and put it in my hand and told me he like blessed me and all this different stuff. And I've actually gotten a magic feather from a woman who is the same kind of disposition. And
So
same
you,
kind of disposition. That's so polite about it.
You see a lot. I mean, I feel like we all sort of... When people are traveling or commuting, like I hit the subway around the same time on the same days every time. You see the whole cast of characters.
Yeah.
Craziest person / thing you've ever seen?
I mean, I don't know about my personal favorite thing was a entire daycare group of like 20 kids came down and they had them all sit around me and they all like clapped along and like were like bobbing their heads. And so I like was surrounded by like 20 kids.
See, that's the thing about like New York busking, like magic that happens. And I know we go back to Moonahooch, but I've seen people like stop and hang out on the platform, which is essentially why they've gotten like harassed and somewhat banned from 14th Street, because they start like legitimate dance parties. And for whenever you stumble upon that, I feel that you are unlocking some part of like New York's secret, where it's like, yeah, you know, the buzz and everything. But when you get to experience that moment where it's not just like someone like doing backflips or trying to sell you candy.
Worst thing to hear on the subway. What time is it?
Oh yeah,
showtime.
But it's like when someone does it, or you actually see like, you know, a really incredibly talented artist. I mean, do you actually? I was gonna ask you, do you also play in venues?
Yeah, I play around town. I'm playing in at St. Vitus. Vita, I don't know how to say
St. Vitus.
St. Vitus. On the 21st, and
isn't that like a metal, hardcore place?
I don't know. Actually, this band from Canada asked me to play.
Yeah, St. Vitus, the heavy metal
there.
Bar in Greenpoint.
Yeah,
right?
So
yeah, well, I will not be playing heavy metal.
Yeah, what set of tunes are you bringing?
These ones that I'm playing now. So,
did you just play a show over the weekend at some crazy house party?
I played at a movie shoot house party. It was for a friend's film that he was shooting, and yeah, there was a fire breather above me and all this different stuff. And
I have a question. So, you know, there's your busker artist type, but there's also the other buskers like pan flute guy and accordion dudes and things like that. Do you feel a sense of community and brotherhood with them as well?
The pan flute guys are different. The pan flute guys are like their own little thing, I think. Okay. I'm not really sure. But then there's definitely like, there's people who...
Like the Tejanos guys and things like that.
Yeah. There's people who are like distinct like musicians of every kind of field. And they just like I just feel like a musician. I just kind of am into music, yeah. And that's why I bust. But then there's certain people who are totally into like the gypsy lifestyle, I guess, and they wear the whole digs, and they have the, you know, it's a lot of accordion players and like that kind of thing.
What about, have you seen the guy, I don't know if it was a Bedford stop, it's like a maybe like 24, 25 year old guy, leotard, surrounded by toys, and like
at night, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, late at night. Not playing anything, just like doing busking performance art.
I've seen him actually there once, but the best thing is in the mornings when I come in, he'll be there like Friday night, and then in the mornings when I come in, there's this whole like chalk like ritualistic thing drawn all around the where I'm standing, so I'm looking around and like playing, and I feel weird, this holy place or something.
I mean, the thing is like you want to stop and kind of like look at that, yeah. Insanity, but you're also like, oh, gosh, I gotta go.
I like the guy who played the drums and sang on Bedford.
Mr. Reed.
Yeah.
Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed's awesome. He
actually he was one of the people that I reached out to, and I was like, hey, will you come do the radio show?
If you see Mr. Reed, tell him to, he gets free pizza from us.
Awesome. Yeah. He's actually, I think he hasn't been busking recently. He's a pretty busy guy, I think. He's been doing
other
stuff.
This is before he got done with busking.
Yeah. No, I think he's made it into
there's
some
a couple
big
of good
time.
Busking stories. Also, out of Boston as well. There's a lot of busker success stories.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like who?
What's her name? Mary Lou. I'm blanking her name.
Retton?
Yeah.
No, that was the
gymnast.
That was the gymnast.
No, sure. Not Mary Lou Retton, but
you just really just set him up. You're like, wow. No. Darren just walked in. And then Freelance Wilds. Obviously, they started busking, yeah. And now are doing quite fine for themselves.
And the Roots were originally busking in Philly.
Were they really?
Yeah. They were. I can't remember the name of the street. There's that street that's really good for busking.
Mary Lou Lord. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
She busked. South Street?
Yes.
Yes. Oh yeah. There's that great photo of Questlove from back in the day on South Street. Before I just thought it was. Records. I thought it was a staged photo. I didn't realize they actually bust.
That's what I've heard from people.
No, I believe
in
you.
Philly,
you're
so.
From a man who lives in the world of busking versus someone who's asking. Yeah. For things. Why don't we get another song?
Okay. Cool. This song is called Niagara. It'll take just 1 second.
Thank you.
Great. Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really good. So, just want to see if it's still there.
Was that the encore?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the
encore. The loop, the endless loop. So, you're playing at St. Vitus.
Yes.
Actually, as you're shifting from like one sound to another, how are you letting people who used to book you know, be like, hey, you know, I know I used to play this, but now I'm playing this?
I'm just kind of not, because then they're like, don't want me to play, I guess.
Have you run into it yet, or is it still like a new...
Nobody's ever been really complaining, I guess, but yeah, it's been kind of strange just because people know me as this. So like recently I just played a show in Philly where I was booked with a bunch of like freak folk, anti-folk people and was like the only guy doing this kind of stuff. Everybody else was just acoustic guitar.
And what made the change?
I don't know. I'm not really a guitarist, I guess. I just, when I was in a bunch of like punk bands and stuff in college and in high school and stuff. And then I just... our band started to break up, so I wanted to learn how to play guitar to teach myself, so I taught myself G and C and then just kind of went from there. And I mean, I'm really just into music in general, so this seemed more expansive and such and
right.
more interesting at right, this venture in my life.
Got it. Alright, cool. Well, I want to make sure we have time for one more song, but besides that, where can people find your music? Where can they get at you?
When are you normally on Bedford?
Yeah.
When am I normally?
Oh, yeah.
9 in the morning to like 3 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon, and then Saturdays around the same time, sometimes at night. And yeah.
Are you still looking for other work?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm currently looking for work. If anybody listening in,
what's your dream job?
I don't know. I guess being less of a frontman, more of a musician. I just really like to make music, so soundtracks and such like that would be awesome. But
do you want to do one of your busking tunes for us?
Yes, I'm going to do one. And it's actually, I play this in the subway, but it's supposed to be a longer song. So it's going to have a slight intro because I can't do it without the keyboard. So okay. Here's that.
Well, hold on. Where can people find you online?
Oh, my website is www.supermassive.com, and you can see art and music there. Or if you just want the music, it's mountmoon.bandcamp.com.
And can people get the comics there and everything?
People can look at the comics and watercolors and collages and all sorts of stuff.
It's pretty great. I was on there earlier today. I got kind of lost.
You go down to Internet Hole?
I was going to say, well, the cover art for the EP that I got.
The new one?
With the two dudes on the front.
Yeah.
It's real. You did that, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty great. We should talk tattoos afterwards.
And also, Jamie, thank you so much. Good luck to all your endeavors. We'll be kicking it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow.
And Jamie, I appreciate all the traps you walked my brother into this show. It's really appreciated.
What?
Yeah.
It's what we do in Boston.
Yeah. Inappropriate.
We fuck with people.
Yeah. Fucking Downey. Yeah. That's my terrible boss. Anyway, so.
That's Boston? That's like a shitty, like, New York gangster.
Wicked awesome, yeah. See? Right? No?
Something that's like more like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
on speed.
BBQBlowout.eventbrite.com. Last one of the season. If you haven't come to one, you're sort of blowing it. But
yeah, it's their last chance to not have to make excuses for the next 8 months to be like, ah. Oh, I could have been there, but we're really giving you like an out.
I know that they've gotten to some level of popularity because I'll run to people and they'll be like, oh, you got like a barbecue coming up this week. Man, I'd love to come. Like, at least they're acknowledging that it exists
and they're
before they blow
and they're
me up.
Bail.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I heard about that thing that I never plan on coming to. I'm like, oh, well, at least you've heard about it.
Yeah.
And we'll keep our eyes peeled for Toro NYC.
Definitely.
Are you going to call it Toro NYC?
I'm just going to call it Toro.
Okay. Cool. All right, we'll be back next Monday.
Yeah.
With, I think, Greenpoint Fish Company, who are awesome.
And Ducky's coming back on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yo, Ducky's the best. Check out some of her past performances on all of our archives. Shout out to Heritage. Shout out to Roberta's.
Shout out to August. And
hey.
And four-year anniversary. It's not
happy four-year anniversary.
Happy four-year anniversary. I can't believe we forgot about
happy
that.
Happy anniversary to my girlfriend. We just had our one-year anniversary on Saturday.
What?
And then...
That's it.
Oh, and shout-out to Amrit Singh. He knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But shout-out to Amrit.
Thank you.
As a tree, I got my leaves soaking up what's left of the seven seas. They're taken up to heaven, then forsaken like the devil to the earth where my roots dig deep. Oh, and though, a fire may extinguish me, my remains and my fruits will serve as food for another sapling to spread its limbs. And it begins, oh, it begins again. As a tree, I got my leaves soaking up what's left of the seven seas. They're taken up to heaven, then forsaken like the devil to the earth where my roots dig deep. Oh, and though,
thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Oh, it showed me how to grow as tall as I can grow.
This show is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.